Welcome to the Airline Pilot Podcast. I'm Jason Ambrosi. For this episode, we're coming to you from ALPA's Leadership Training Conference. The core of ALPA's success is and will always be the line pilots who step up to make their voices heard in this union and support other pilots as volunteers. Volunteering to become a leader and serving our ALPA colleagues is something that I believe is our union's highest calling. For this episode, I wanted to highlight some of the volunteer representatives attending the conference this year and hear how they're addressing the wide variety of topics that our members are facing. Today, we have with us Captain Tiffany O'Connor, FedEx Seniority Block 1 rep out of Memphis. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name's Tiffany O'Connor. I've been at FedEx for almost 29 years. I'm an MD-11 captain. I'm married to another industry pilot. He's APA, and we live in North Lake Tahoe.
Very good. What encouraged you to get into becoming a local council representative?
Well, during COVID, when a lot of airline operations slowed down or stopped, ops at FedEx accelerated substantially. And a lot of our pilots found ourselves in uncomfortable, even intolerable conditions at some layovers. And as a result of these very adverse conditions, we took every opportunity we could to get together, whether it was a common room that a hotel set aside for us or operations centers before departures. And the upside of this adversity is that pilot unity increased substantially during this. So when the Block 1 rep position came open, I was kind of moving on a swell of, you know, this pilot unity and the encouragement and, you know, the friendships that had developed during that, the COVID trouble. And I decided that I would step up and represent these people that I'd grown so close to during that time.
That's awesome. I know that many of your crew force had to endure some pretty rough conditions during the pandemic. I know most of the passenger carrying airlines didn't operate at near the schedule that you all did, and it was quite a lift. So, you know, FedEx definitely owes you, and we appreciate all the hard work that your crews did during that. What are the main topics that you're dealing with in your council right now?
Well, we just rejected a TA last summer. So that's presenting unique challenges. At FedEx, we have never rejected a TA before, so this is new for everyone. There's a huge amount of disappointment in our pilot group because we did endure such adversity during COVID, and the company expressed gratitude in the form of thank you emails, but we expected something a little more substantial. So when the contract was presented to our members last summer, there was a great deal of disappointment in how lacking it was.
So speaking of negotiations, what tactics are you using to communicate with your local council members during negotiating progress, get direct feedback from them? You know, obviously after a rejected TA, everybody's heightened, everybody's focused, and there's a lot of emotion. So how do you work through that?
Well, unlike some airlines that represent pilots based on fleet, seat, domicile, at FedEx, we are broken out by seniority. And my particular council includes the 500 most senior pilots and the 500 most junior pilots in Memphis, and then a block of 500 middle seniority. It's very easy for me to speak to Block 1 pilots because I've known all of them for almost 29 years. But it's much more challenging to speak to the Block 8 pilots because our priorities are not so similar. But what the Block 8 representative, the Block 4 representative, and I have concluded as a council is that if we are completely honest and try to be agnostic in our communications with the pilots, they don't have to wade through our opinion and our spin and they can just read fact. This is what is happening with the company. This is what we are pursuing. These are the obstacles we're facing. This is the pushback we're getting. This is where we need your help. So this leadership conference has reinforced the importance of the pilots we're speaking to maintaining their autonomy and forming their own opinion. And this conference also emphasized buy-in and the importance of buy-in. So we as a council, in communicating to blocks 1, 4, and 8, the spectrum of seniority, are attempting to deliver information that in such a way that the pilots are able to step up with us and we can face those obstacles with the strength of the pilots behind us rather than trying to shoulder the load as three members of the MEC.
Well said. I hadn't thought about the unique challenge you face having the most senior group of pilots and the most junior group of pilots in the same council like that. So that's definitely a unique challenge. Sounds like you're tackling it well. All right, next up, let's move to Captain Steve Savage, Alaska Airlines. So Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've done in the union before and who you fly for, what you do.
Okay, Steve Savage here. Yeah, thanks for having me. 737 captain. And the Block 6 rep in Seattle, Secretary Treasurer. I started doing union work back in 2016 after I got in an accident myself and had to go out on short-term leave and was flying with the union president at Alaska at the time. And so he got me to join the Air Medical Committee. And so then I went to my first air safety forum in 2017 and then got involved more with ALPA, helped to build the pilot peer support program in 2018 and brought that to Alaska Airlines. So now in this new position, I've been able to take some of that expertise that I learned in the last 5-6 years and bring that more the political side of the house from the pilot assistance side. Mm-hmm. So it's been, I've learned a lot. I've worked with a lot of great people and looking to do more.
You know, you're recently the Hawaiian-Alaska merger was announced. And what are you hearing from your pilots on the potential merger?
I would say mostly excited, but you know, there's a lot of people with questions. We just went through a merger with Virgin America. And so being able to take that experience from other people on the MEC, that's helped help the pilots bring down their concern. But I think for the most part, excited. We just met with them for the first time last month. And so that went great. Great bunch of pilots. And we're going to be going out there next month in February to do some more unity building and start the process.
Yeah, I was able to join you last month in Seattle for a little while. I was impressed at the what seems like the unity, right? Anytime mergers are stressful, they just are, but the fact that you have that open dialogue between the two pilot groups and the fact is that you're not shooting inside the circle, you know, use your unity to extract the maximum level of leverage you can out of the combined company, and you know, that's a great way forward. There's certainly going to be challenges, but it seems like you all are really taking a positive approach on it. Is there anything lastly that your previous experience as a pilot assistance volunteer can help you in this new position?
So I'm one of the instructors for the PPS program, and we go over active listening skills, and so I've already used those more in my life ever since. You know, educating, teaching it, but now I'm really putting those to use.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. You know, that's a good point. Maybe we should maybe make that part of this conference, right? It's awesome. Well, I appreciate it, and thanks for stepping up. All right, next we have First Officer Manuela Valenzuela from WestJet Encore, and you're based in Toronto. Tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, hi, thank you for having me. My name is Manuela, as you said. I'm the first officer rep in Toronto, and I've been with Encore for a year and a half, and I've been the FO rep since September. And we recently closed our base. So, well, it's not technically closed. It's closing the spring of 2025, but we no longer have flights out of Toronto. So I'm based out of Toronto, but all of my flying actually starts out west. So we get deadheaded out to Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and then do all of our flights out there.
All right. So what inspired you to step up and do this with only being at Encore a year and a half?
Yeah, well, our pilot group in Toronto really took a hit in many ways. So we announced our base closure, I think it was like early 2023. And since then, we had 132 pilots, like a year ago today. We are currently sitting at 54. So, and of that, I think only 25 are first officers. So, yeah, no one was really stepping up to the plate. It was suggested to me to do it, and I thought it was a good opportunity to, yeah, get involved, represent our pilots. I had never been involved with union before, but seeing how involved ALPA is and how much support we were offered, the communication, like, yeah, I was very intrigued by the position, so I went for it, and I got voted in, and it's been really cool.
Well, great. So, you know, thanks for stepping up. It's definitely exciting. So this is obviously your first real real visit and to see all the resources that we have here at the mothership, for lack of a better term. So, you know, what's your biggest takeaway from the conference here so far?
There's been so much, but I would say that the biggest thing was like understanding the MEC meetings. Having to like doing that breakout room participation, that was really interesting to see, because I went to a MEC meeting before, but I was like, I just didn't know what was going on. Terminology is really confusing, and yeah, the order of everything. So having that explained was really useful, and I think I'll be better prepared for our next meetings. And then also, as Steve was saying, the active listening, and yeah, being able to engage with our pilots a little bit better as to understanding what their desires and needs are.
All right. Well, that's a good point. I would point out that you're taking office at a very significant time at Encore, because you're in the middle of a significant contract, collective bargaining fight. And you just entered conciliation. Our previous podcast, Tim Perry, the Canada board president, explained how the differences between Canada and the U.S. on conciliation and the road to release to a self-help or a strike up there. But you all just recently entered conciliation, which sets that stage for a potential strike. The clock is running. How do you expect to work with your council to prepare for that possibility?
Well, we have an informational picket coming up on March 22nd, so we're just getting everyone well-educated on that, trying to create as much unity as possible to get as much participation as we can. We're hosting some pub events. We are hosting coffee sits at the airport for anyone that wants to just stop by, have a coffee, have a conversation. Yeah, and then I think we've also got some family events coming up. But yeah, really just trying to educate as much as possible and create unity.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, what are the main priorities that your pilots are looking for in this agreement?
Career progression.
Yeah, sure. Right.
Would be the main one. Yeah. We recently had our flow reduced significantly. We were flowing 16 pilots every 2 months. We're now flowing 4 every 2 months. The pilot transfer agreement. So that would carry your seniority number over from our regional carrier to the mainline carrier. So, and with our PTA being canceled, we don't have any incentive for any first officers coming on to Encore to even stick around to want to float
right.
Mainline. So,
okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would probably draw a line on significant needs between the captains and first officers with the ending of that agreement. How are your pilots balancing the priority differences between the captains and the first officers?
Yeah, all of our new first officers don't have that seniority. So we've just become a stepping stone, basically, to go to bigger carrier, like Air Canada, honestly, is our only competition right now. But yeah, there is a line, especially because we are really heavy on first officers right now. So even their ability to time build and be able to upgrade has taken a toll. So I think like first officers are getting blocked at 40 hours a month right now, where we could be getting blocked 80. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, the prospect of being able to get that upgrade, make some better money and have a better career, that's not really looking very good for us right now.
All right. Well, obviously we're here to support you and all your endeavors to get the contract you deserve. And obviously on a broader scale, our goal is to close the gap between the U.S. and Canada on wages and working conditions, because you certainly do it. You're carrying the same passengers in the same airspace and everything. So we stand behind you 100%.
Thanks for your support.
Absolutely. Lastly, on to you, Brandon. We're joined by First Officer Instructor Brandon Arrington from Delta, who represents the Instructor Council in Atlanta. So you were the status rep for the instructors. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for having me. The Instructor Council is kind of a unique deal. We represent the 650-plus seniority-list instructors at Delta. But to be a part of the larger MEC family has already been special to see, getting to attend a special meeting in October that was dealing with implementation issues. It was fascinating to see the process play out and how we can work through those challenges and hold management accountable in a fair and equitable way to get the results that the pilots were looking for. And then to attend a larger regularly scheduled meeting in November was great. To be able to come here this week and have this training has proved, I think, already invaluable, and I think it'll transition really, really well going back and being ready to start March 1st with this new challenge.
So what got you to do this? Why'd you decide to volunteer your time to represent your fellow pilots?
Yeah, it's a good question. So voluntold is part of it. I got big shoes to fill, replacing Sam Mason, who has been in this role for three full terms and did a great job, achieved amazing gains for us. We got our own section, a seniority list instructor specifically. But I don't know. I've always had a heart for guiding conversations, trying to build consensus. That's part of why I've enjoyed the instructor role. Haven't done much ALPA work because so much of my energy was either involved in the instruction side of things or being there for my family. But getting to see the way things played out during COVID, to see the contract drag on, to see that process play out, just wanted to be able to be a part of a positive culture moving forward, to try to build on what we've gained, continue that strong momentum, that pilot unity that was apparent. And as great as the instruction side of things was, my impact was fairly limited with smaller crews, and this was a way to really now take that influence that you can gain and take it to a larger level and hopefully be able to advocate for a large number of pilots across the board, but specifically, you know, the instructors on all of our different fleets.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I would echo your sentiment that Sam did a long time in that position and was a heck of an advocate for the instructors at Delta. You know, you mentioned contract enforcement. How is your council dealing with contract enforcement?
So on a broader sense, I'll start there. There's been a lot of implementation issues, pay probably being the number one. I know that's very broad and all encompassing, but The large emphasis has been on getting things done correctly and in a timely manner. And there's been a lot of issues. A lot of that's falling back to, coding issues on the Delta front, they're telling us. But it has been encouraging to see some positive progress the last 2 months on some better pay automation, a quicker turnaround on things. And I think that has been because the union, especially our admin, has been able to foster these very productive weekly meetings. And if they can continue that good working relationship, I think that benefits both parties. I mean, as a Fortune 100 company, you need to be able to pay your pilots accurately and timely. And so the more automation that gets built in, I think the better that's going to be. As far as the instructors specifically, it's a very manual process. The team works really hard behind the scenes, but being a manual process, mistakes get made. There again, you'd love to see it get handled properly the first time around. But there has been some positive strides being taken. The wide body override has been a unique challenge, especially in fly months, something that we've been working through. Very instructor specific issue has been the whipsaw of fly months. It used to be people didn't feel like they got enough fly months, and now it's now the pendulum has swung fully to the other side, where almost every seat, but especially first officers last year, were forced to the line at a very, very high rate. And so we were worried about degradation of instructor skills, and we didn't want to see the quality of training lowered at all because of lack of experience, especially recent experience.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I've got to ask. So I've met pilots in this position here. I've met pilots that have climbed Mount Everest, that have sailed across the Atlantic. You're the first that have been on American Ninja Warrior. So tell us, a little bit about that and whether or not you're still training or what you're doing to keep those skills active.
So it's kind of funny it got brought up here. I don't think about it a whole lot anymore. Every now and again, I'll get a text from a friend that saw our rerun. But during the open house here on the first night, the leadership conference was speaking to the comm team. And the individual, John, that wrote the article back in 2014, we get to talking and we just realized that our voices sounded familiar. And he said, my face looked familiar. And I'm like, well, how long have you been in the role? And so it through the process of the conversation, it came out that he had written that article back in 2014. It was a really neat and unique experience to be able to compete on American Ninja Warrior. Made a lot of great friends. It actually turned into a really good platform to be able to talk to, especially youth in our community, about the importance of fitness and making it fun. Because to me, when you're on a obstacle course swinging from one thing to another, you're just playing. You're not working out. You are, but you're just having a good time. And so it's actually fostered some unique friendships, especially even at Delta. I had a lot of captains that I dragged on layovers to Ninja Warrior gyms.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I don't know how many of their spouses were very happy with coming back with banged knees and calloused hands and that kind of thing. But
did you have to write a note that those bruises came from a Ninja Warrior course?
No, I've never had to. Never had to testify to a spouse on where the injuries started. But no, it's been a great thing. It's just one of those life experiences that's unique. As much as it's neat to talk about it, I would rather engage the other person. I love hearing about what other people's hobbies and where it's taken them. I would much rather hear about somebody climbing Mount Everest than hear about me falling in the water on American Ninja Warrior on the city finals.
Well, it's very cool. I would say that you're definitely working out, because I know that I wouldn't make it past the first challenge per se, but it's cool to hear about what people, we talk all the time about airplanes. We talk all the time about work, but it's good to hear, somebody that had something cool that happened away from work.
Yeah, I was their first token pilot. So the Pilot Ninja Daddy was the little Twitter name that they gave me. I guess they thought that would be fun. And the host of the show had a lot of key one-liners that somebody in the communications team had clearly written for them to deliver at the right moments. He's cool under pressure. He can handle adversity in the air. And but yeah, it was a very unique experience.
Yeah, well, cool. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that. With that, thank you, Tiffany, Manuela, Steve, and Brandon for joining us today and being part of our podcast here at the Leadership Training Conference. ALPA is truly a bottom-up organization. Every council and every pilot group has different needs and priorities, and this was a great review of all the work you're doing within our union. Volunteers and elected leaders keep our union moving forward together. It takes a lot of time and a lot of hard work to support 77,000 ALPA members in the United States and Canada. And we always need more help. If you're ever thought about getting involved and don't know how to get involved, reach out to your LEC or colleagues on the flight deck to see where you can help your fellow members. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Airline Pilot Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And if you've enjoyed this episode, let your fellow crew members know about the show. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, reach out to podcast@alpa.org. To listen and subscribe to the Airline Pilot Podcast or learn more about ALPA, check us out online at alpa.org or find us on all major podcast platforms. Until next time, this is the Airline Pilot Podcast, production copyright ALPA 2024, all rights reserved. Thanks and have a safe flight.